We had a couple of weeks ago in my archdiocese the sorrow of the death of a young priest. Father Brian Smith was a priest for 10 years. He was 45 years old when he passed away. I knew Father Brian a little bit in the seminary. He lived about two rooms down the hall from me, just for a short time, and I knew him to be a gentle soul, and he was a good priest. I would like to ask that if you could join me right now in praying for Father Brian. We'll say the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. And we offer these prayers for the happy repose of the soul of Father Brian Smith, and for also for the consolation of his family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you might imagine, the funeral mass for Father Brian was a time for much sorrow for all of us, but I also felt it to be a time of hope. They told us some stories about the end of his life, and they said that near to the end of his life, he told the people around him that he was not afraid, that it was time for him to go, and he was going to be with Jesus. And when I heard that, I had a real sense of hope. You know, a priest's mission is to bring people to hope in the Most Holy Trinity, to put all their hope in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I felt that this witness of Father Brian at the end of his life really inspired hope in people. He used to have something that he would say often in his teaching, his preaching, and his talking with other people. He used to always tell people that God is good. On some of his posts on the internet, he would say something and then he would conclude with a phrase something like, "Isn't God good?" or "God is so good." And right to the end of his life, he was giving testimony to this truth, that God is good. Now that's true, God is good. In fact, God is perfect goodness. But the thing is, we can forget this from time to time. We can stop thinking about God's goodness. We can begin to doubt God's goodness. God is so good is one of Father Brian's favorite quotes. On the little card that they make at funerals, at the bottom of his card, it had that quote, "God is so good, Father Brian Smith." And it sounds simple to say, "God is good, God is so good, isn't God good?" But it's very profound. St. John Vianney, who's the patron saint of priests, would often refer to God as the good God. If you read some of his writings, he will talk about the evil of sin. He'll blast the sinful ways of people in his parish or in the town, and then he'll talk about the good God. He always would talk about God as the good God. And God is good. Why is it so important to teach about the goodness of God? How is it possible that we can forget this? How is it possible that we can go through life without being aware of the goodness of God? Well, if you go to the book of Genesis, back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were there, and they were made in the image and likeness of God, and God gave them freedom, but he put a limit upon their freedom, but they were happy with that. Then the devil, who is evil and who wars with great wrath and fury against God's children because he hates God, the devil does not want Adam and Eve to believe in the goodness of God or to be conscious of the goodness of God. The devil is very powerful, and it's almost as if he intimidated Adam and Eve into committing the first sin. He tempts them to sin. He tells them, "You can be like gods." Basically, you can be great if you disobey God. You will find your greatness if you live outside of God's plan for you. Or it's as if the devil said to them, "God, by his commands to you, is preventing you from living your life to the fullest." So the devil tempts them with pride but also he tempts them to stop thinking of the goodness of God. For a moment, just for a brief moment, they stop thinking about how good God is. They forget that their own source of happiness is God Himself. They become deceived. They think they can find happiness and goodness outside of God, and they commit the first sin. And that brings tremendous disaster into their lives, into the lives of their children. And this happens down through the ages. People again and again and again forget about the goodness of God, and that leads them to sin. That leads them to draw away from the goodness of God. How do people today fail to believe in the goodness of God or fail to be aware of His goodness? Well, first, by not having faith in Him. Another way is they look at the drama of sin all over the earth and throughout history, and they begin to wonder, how can God be good if all these evil things are happening? Or they can think, erroneously, that God's law is not good for them, that they'll be better off if they reject God's Ten Commandments, the law of the Holy Gospel, and the teachings of the Church. But this temptation to fail to believe in the goodness of God was present for Adam and Eve before there was all kinds of evils in the world and all kinds of troubles were in the world. Before any of that happened, they had this temptation for a moment that perhaps God is not good. So ultimately, therefore, we come to understand that the failure to believe in God's goodness, the failure to think about God's goodness, to be aware of His goodness, comes from the devil. The devil is a liar. He wants to tell us that God is not good for us. And once we believe that lie, then we'll stop praying, we'll commit any sin that we can get away with, and we won't trust in God. We might even pretend to become an atheist. So, God's response to this sin is to show forth His goodness. If you read the narrative story of the Old Testament, you see that gradually in stages, God is revealing His goodness to His people. It's almost as if He understands, actually He does understand, that the people have failed to recognize His goodness, and they're incapable of seeing His goodness now, so He has to reveal it to them, little by little. Gradually in stages, down to the ages, God reveals His goodness to His people by the holy men and women He sends, by the Ten Commandments, by the sending of the prophets, by the signs of His power and His care for His people. But fully, God reveals His goodness in Jesus Christ, His divine Son, the Son of the Virgin Mary. Christ came to show the goodness of our Father. We have to understand that the child of the Virgin Mary is consubstantial with the Father. He is God Himself, to be worshipped by all of creation. He shows us the goodness of God by His humility, by His gentleness, His miracles, His teaching, and by His divine mercy. In His teaching, Christ tells us that sin is bad for us. He tells us to repent of our sins, to turn away from sin, to be faithful to the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He teaches us that sin is bad for us because it moves us away from the goodness of God. If God is good, then sin is bad for us. Sin won't bring happiness into our lives or bring peace to our lives or to the lives of any nation in the world. Christ shows us, He proves to us the goodness of His Father, not simply as a theological fact. It's not just that we believe theologically the truth of the statement God is good, but Christ reveals this to us as something that touches our lives. God loves us. The goodness of God is showed to us by the love of Jesus Christ, by His suffering and death and resurrection, by His great love which leads Him to lay down His life for His friends. He brings us into friendship with God. So the truth of God's goodness is something that affects our lives. Not just an idea, but it's something that touches our very souls and inspires us. Believing in and staying aware of the goodness of God gives us a real strength, a real hope, and true wisdom. If we want our lives to be good, to be on the right path, then we must draw close to God, because God is good. We draw close to Him by faith, by receiving the sacraments, and by prayer. The closer we are to the good God, the more we become our true selves, children of God, and the more our lives become wonderful, the more we achieve our greatness and our strength, even if we have to go through suffering. The awareness of God's goodness brings to us real hope. Hope is something that people need today in the world, this sense of looking forward to something good and something real. If we follow the Lord Jesus, if we are walking on His way, then we are always moving towards goodness. Even if I have to walk the way of the cross, even if I have to endure persecution, suffering, sickness, and death, if I'm following the Lord Jesus, I am moving towards goodness, and therefore I'm happy. You know, if you know you're moving towards something good, then it inspires you. It gives you the ability to go through the hardships of the journey. If I know the end is good for me, the path I'm on will be a lot more sweet. It'll be a lot more joyful. Following the Lord Jesus gives us this wonderful sense of God's goodness and that we are moving ever more deeply towards and into this goodness of God. Being aware of God's goodness also gives us real wisdom. It shows us that sin is always bad for us. You know, sometimes when we think of sin, we hear that word, and most people don't like to hear that word. They feel that it's just a word that tells them that they've done something against God's will, and they're in trouble. Well, to be aware of God's goodness helps us to see that sin, yeah, it's a violation of God's law, but it's really going against our own good. It's bad for us. It's not healthy for our soul or for our life. Sin will bring more stress into our life, more fear and anxiety, more emptiness in our hearts. This is why when people choose to live in sin, they're never at peace. They aren't. They may have a few days of excitement, but they're not at peace and they know it. They're empty. They are fearful of what life's going to bring to them. Well, it's helpful for us to understand what sin is. Sin is to miss the mark. That's what the word literally means, to miss the target. What's our target? Our target is goodness. Our target is happiness. Sin is to miss the mark. Sin is something that is bad for me. It takes away my happiness and my peace. It moves us away from the goodness of God. This is our motivation to guard ourselves against sin, to repent of our sins. Sin is bad for us, so we don't want to become our own worst enemy. When we live in sin, we're going against our own happiness. So our awareness of God's goodness helps us to realize that in the face of temptation, we should remember that it's good for us to follow the commandments and the teachings of Christ in the church. This will keep us on the path of goodness, and this is a truly wise way to live. Yes, brothers and sisters, God is so good. He is. Don't ever believe the lie from the evil one which says that God is not good. He is good, and He's good for you. His goodness assures us that if we follow the way of Christ, if we live in the light of His truth, then we have nothing to fear, absolutely nothing, because we are on the way of true goodness, this way that gives us real happiness in this life and eternal happiness in the life to come. God bless you.